Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And today, we're joined by a very special guest, Tzvika Aiken. Hello, Tzvika.
Hello, hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm excited to interview Tzvika because he is a restaurateur, and I'm very curious about how one goes setting up a business and how you deal with the psychology of customers. And we're going to talk a lot about that. But let me tell you a little bit about Tzvika. He came from Israel to the United States in 1971, and he went to high school in Los Angeles. Then he worked at a kosher butcher shop, and after 5 years, he took over the shop and then moved to San Diego in 1979 when he opened DZ Aiken's, which is a wonderful deli. So, again, welcome, Tzvika. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, I'm curious, can you tell us, I'd love to hear about the background of people who I talk with. What led to your move from Israel to the United States?
Basically, my parents wanted me to become a doctor, so I wasn't that good at school over there. So they sent me over here thinking that maybe I'll excel in being a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever. But I stayed a butcher.
So did your parents come with you?
No. I went and I stayed with my aunt.
And when did you figure out that medicine wasn't your calling?
I was knew it. They didn't know it, but I did.
You always knew it. You just didn't tell them, or they didn't want to hear you.
Yeah.
And then, did you go to college?
No, I just graduated high school, Hamilton High School in Los Angeles.
And then you went directly into becoming a butcher? How did that work?
While I was going to school, I was working at the butcher shop. I couldn't speak English. But I knew how to speak Yiddish, I was a butcher in Israel a little bit. So it was easy to work in a kosher butcher shop speaking Yiddish, and that was how I started.
So tell me about, what is a day like for a butcher in a butcher shop? What do you do?
Oh, we used to get kosher meat. We used to, bone it, and we used to kosher the meat, and salt and water, to make it, kosher. And I used to help customers, buying things over the counter, just like a regular butcher shop.
Yeah. And did you have any interesting customer encounters, like that especially were memorable because they were extra kind or difficult? Any stories like that?
I always like to deal one-on-one with people. Much easier one-on-one than with a big group. I'm always easier for me to deal with one-on-one. And it was easy, to help customers always all along, even till today,
And is your attitude that customers always right, or sometimes you want to kick them out? How does that work?
That's not one of my beliefs, but most of the time I get along with everybody. Every once in a while, if things did not go, I just ask him to very nicely, thank you very much, and that's it.
So do you ever have to adjust to the customer, or you basically, I guess this is true for even your current business, but let's say you have a demanding customer, do you just say we can't serve that, or do you try to adjust as best as possible?
Most of the time, I do everything to please. But if I see I'm getting nowhere, then I give up. I'll try long enough to put a certain point, and then I just give up. And then I ask him very nicely to please don't ever come back. And not too many. That's not very often. But I'm very good with people. I want to do good with them, and I try the best. And when you see you're getting nowhere, then I know when it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah. Because I'm very interested, as you know, in the psychology of people.
Sure.
Do you have, and that's where my questions are coming from. Do you have a sense of what makes a customer difficult, like what the problem is?
A lot of the time is when I personally feel that they are cheap when it comes to that. A lot of the time, there's some people that you cannot please no matter what. And you know, sometimes they have a hard time, and they come and they wanna let it out on somebody. That I see them many times. They'll be aggressive with the waitress, and when I face them, they'll come down. So I see that sometimes it's personal with them themselves, not me or not us.
Yeah, because in my business as a counselor, sometimes we deal with difficult parents. It's just different than difficult children, and sometimes you're right. You can't. There's not much you can do to please them. They are either taking out their frustrations on you, or they look at something you did and assume the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that happens in your business as well.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't have a magic answer other than when you're dealing with a difficult person, is I do my best to try to understand where they're coming from so I can address it. Sometimes they don't communicate terribly well, but sometimes they can tell you what's going on, and then sometimes I've been able to make lemonade out of lemons. So if somebody's a very difficult customer, if I approach them right, many times sometimes they turn around and become really good people to work with. Is that true also in the restaurant business?
Most of the time, I had a few situations that people left angry, and then they came around and basically they apologized or kind of, even if they didn't say it by words of apologizing, but you know they felt bad and they don't want to. They just want to make peace and come back, and that's it. I threw out somebody, and he called me 3 days later, apologized, and asked to come back. And I said, "Hey, you're welcome. Come back. No problem."
So you're working at a butcher shop after college, and what made you decide to open up your own business? What happened there?
The butcher shop part is that my two bosses were elderly, and they decided to sell and quit. And when I was there, I met my wife, my ex-wife Debbie, and her parents lived in San Diego, and they always said there's no delis in San Diego, and blah blah blah. And since my butcher shop I was gonna sell it, get out of there, I decided, what the heck, I'm gonna come to San Diego and open a deli. And that's how I ended up over here with the deli business.
And tell me about the name of the deli.
We did not know what to name it, because deli in San Diego, when I came 40 years ago, every deli was just a liquor store. So we used my initial and her relation. D is for Debbie and Z for Tvika, and my last name. At that time, I didn't know what a bad name it is, but thank God it turned out to be a very good name.
And so it's DZ Aiken in San Diego. For those of you who are local, I highly recommend visiting that business. So tell us, what is a deli? How is it different from a restaurant?
The delicatessen business is a dying business. The old-timers are no longer with us, and less products are available. We talk about smoked fish or smoked meats. And slowly, it's got a lot of, we have a lot of products with a lot of items. And slowly, you know, the young kids don't want to take over, and stay in this business. That's why there's very few delis are left in the United States.
So you're saying delis involve cut meats and stuff. So, like, when I've gone to a deli, your deli, for example, there's a menu and there's a lot of items on there. So it's a restaurant, from my perspective, with a few deli items. Am I misreading it, or is that, you'd agree with that?
It's both. Everything that's in the deli, it's in the dining room. A lot of things in the dining room come from the deli. So it's all in one. We use all the products in the deli we use in the dining room.
Got it. So, all right, so you're starting a new business, and how do you go about that? Do you know anybody in San Diego when you start? Or I'm very curious, for example, is anybody guiding you in how to do this? Like, what licenses you need, and how do you find a space? Tell me about the start of the business.
We did this slowly, really being very, very, very naive, not knowing nothing. We didn't know what we didn't know. And when I went around to different delis and asked for, recommendation and stuff, everybody said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. The more they said don't do it, the more I wanted to do it. But it was very difficult, didn't know very much. I was never a cook. I was a home cook. But I learned everything the hard way, and I loved it. I love to cook. I love to cook for people, and that's how it worked out very well. I learned from everybody. Anybody give me a tip, I'll take it. I'll learn from anybody.
Well, in a sense, you're doing that right now on the show. You're teaching somebody who's listening maybe how to start a business. But so when you started, did you start this with a deli, or did you start out with a restaurant already?
We started with a very small, it was like a 40-seat restaurant, with a little deli counter, and it was very small, and with the years gone, we got successful, and the next door neighbor was a beauty parlor. She decided to sell, so I took it over, and we enlarged a little bit, and 5 years later, the next neighbor decided to leave, so we went further, and within 30 years, 25 years, we end up taking over the whole Shabbos Center.
How big is the restaurant now?
10,000 square feet.
And how many tables do you have? How many people do you host?
200.
200. So, all right, so back to the beginning. So you have, did you take over another restaurant's area, or did you build from
scratch?
No,
it was empty. It was empty. I did the actual structure, building, the flooring, the plumbing, with the contractor. But I did a lot of the work myself and with Debbie, and we all worked together, and slowly we put it together.
And when the initial staff, like how big a staff did you have?
The staff in the beginning?
Yeah.
Maybe six to eight people.
So tell me how you, like, what kind of people did you hire? I'm curious how you trained them, and did you train them in customer relations? That's I'm very curious about that.
Debbie was in customer relations. She came from the Shmate business. So she's very good with customers. And she had a lot to do with that part of the business about being on the floor. I spend most of my time in the kitchen. She spent most of the time outside. And she was very good at it.
So did you learn stuff from her? Like what would you tell, like you, the people you hired, I assume, were maybe a chef and servers. I mean, I'm not sure who all you hire when you start off the restaurant, but what did you tell what did Debbie tell the people they hired? What was the expectation of the employees?
The expectation was non-existent. We didn't know anything. We just did it. And it's one of those that, I mean, we've been to a restaurant before. We knew how people served us. So I remember the first customer we came, I made him the same sandwich. I thought I was going to die, the first sandwich. And after that, it was smooth. We hired a cook, and we hired a prep cook, a dishwasher, and two waitresses. And Debbie was there, and I was there, and I was learning from the cooks. Whatever they taught me, I took all, I learned, and that's how everything came together.
Now, did you work harder than anybody else besides Debbie?
I believe it's still till today.
And so you open up a new deli. How do you get customers in the door? That's always an interesting question. How do you get people to try you out?
What was going on in San Diego? San Diego was starving for a Jewish deli. That was really the what helped us a lot, because the Jewish community wanted something. And Debbie's parents were members of the synagogue not close by. So really, everybody came until there was a bar mitzvah in town, and we haven't seen anybody. There was nobody for that day or the next 2 days. But most of them, they supported us very nice. The Jewish community supported us till today very well. Plus everybody else. We have wonderful customers from all walks of life.
Did you have to advertise a lot, or was it more word of mouth?
We did. We advertised in the local reader, and we advertised in a few, the Jewish Times, and we got lucky with a few TV personalities that they were wonderful to us. There was a long time ago, there was the unknown eater that when he came after that, we really was doing very well. And there was another gentleman, Jack White. He reviewed us, and they were all very nice and, honest, and everything worked out really, really good.
Did you do things like Thursday night specials or buy one, get one free to get started?
We did that. We did two for ones, and we did early bird. Till today, we do early bird special, before 6 o'clock. Two for one we did in the beginning. We did whatever it took. We're very active day and night over here, and we did whatever it took.
Now, how do you decide what to put on the menu and how to price it? How does that work?
Usually, you triple the cost, sometimes four times as much or three times as much as the cost. In the restaurant business, basically, what is more or less what you do. Well, I copied a lot of the competition from here all the way to New York. I went to every deli that I could go to took their menus and copied their menus and try their food, try to make sure what I can improve, what I can do the same. I do it till today.
So, how do you decide? You have a very large menu. How do you decide to have large menus as opposed to a smaller menu? You just gave too much of everything, or how does that work?
It was the one part of the menu was kind of like gimmicky. We had a lot of sandwiches. Basically, we mixed the different meats, that this with this and this with that, this meat with that meat, this with it. We could have made it a lot smaller, but it looked much exciting when you had 100 sandwiches. So we copied a couple of big delis, and we said, well, we can do this way or that way. And some items, even customers gave us tips how to, the potato salad that we have, we got a tip from one of our customers, and since then we're doing this, her recipe. And I always search for something new, something, that people like, even today. Chicken and waffle. I will never do chicken and waffle, but people like it, they love it, and it sells like crazy. So fried chicken and waffle we do, just like, that's what's good out there, that's what people like out there, and that's what we're doing.
And so, how often have you had to increase prices? We're just coming through an inflationary period, and how does it affect your customers? What happens?
Many times, I mean, in the beginning we were very inexpensive, prices were no good. We had to do it. And, we know every three, four years we had to do it. Recently we had to do it every year, year and a half we had to do it now because the pricing is crazy, the what's going on with COVID and everything. So now we just did it not too long ago. It's a must because the labor cost is crazy now, so.
Yeah, how do you handle the labor costs? Are you affected by the? I guess you're not considered a fast food restaurant, so you don't have to pay the $20 an hour that I think is taking place in April here. But
yeah, I don't. But we are there already. Most people, you can't get anybody to work for you less than $20 an hour.
And then you pass the increased cost to customers and what you sell.
You have to, otherwise you don't survive.
Yeah. This is fascinating what goes into creating a business and maintaining it over the years. I've got lots more questions for you. We'll come back right after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Unbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Unbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterpointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Unbar. Our special guest, Tamika Akin, who is the creator and the owner of Daisy Akin, a wonderful deli in San Diego that I highly recommend. We've been talking about how costs have to be passed on to customers because otherwise the business doesn't stay in business. I'm wondering, you mentioned COVID earlier, tell me what happened when COVID happened. Were you at risk of closing down, or how did you handle it?
It was very difficult, but we were lucky enough that we had the deli part, so we closed the restaurant part, but the deli stayed open, so we were able to sell food to go, and plus we started with the delivery company, so that really helped a lot. This really helped us stay afloat, otherwise we would have been in trouble.
Did you feel supported by your customers during that time?
Yes.
My local restaurants, I really felt for them, and I gave them extra large tips because it was really a difficult time.
Very much. People were wonderful. People were appreciative. They were grateful to be open. People, even till today, they tip very generously to the employees all around. People were very supportive.
That's
and I did my
here.
Best
did you
to take care of my employees as much as I could.
Did you have to let go of people? Did people get fired or laid off?
A lot of people quit because they got money from the government, so they were able to quit. It wasn't like they're quitting on me. They had to stay home. They couldn't come to work. A lot of them were afraid to come out.
And when we came out of the COVID years, did you have trouble? Did people come back to their job, or did you have to hire new people?
A lot of them came back. I'm lucky that way. People leave me and always come back. They never want to go. So I got a lot of people that worked for me for 20 and 30 years, and most of them came back.
And so was the transition back to quote-unquote normal an easy one, or did you face some interesting hurdles?
There were hurdles. We had to put dividers between the tables, between each table had a divider, each booth had a divider. We had to sanitize the tables. We did everything that were recommended to us. We took it seriously and we did it. And it was one in 100 years experience.
Yes, we don't need to do that again.
No.
And do you still have the delivery business?
Yes. We had the delivery company. It's almost like its own little business, you know. I got two or three people do it all day long just for that.
And has that slowed down since COVID is over, or is that still a very big part of your business?
It's still going. I mean, it's not a big part of it, but it's equal to what it was. That's the same, pretty much the same.
Interesting. Because in my business, when COVID hit, we did a lot of video
on medical counseling on
Zoom, and that still continues, and not quite as much as before, but that's hopefully something we can continue. It's so convenient when it's difficult to get from where the patients live to my office. So,
sure.
Some improvements, maybe, as a result of COVID. So what challenges do you see for the future for your restaurant in Delhi?
A small challenge is the old-timers are dying. The young kids are moving further up north. All the people that live around this neighborhood, slowly they're moving towards Del Mar and Solana Beach and La Jolla or whatever. But everything is okay. We have a very rounded customer from all walks of life, and things are okay. I cannot complain. And as long as, if I keep the quality and the quantity that I have, things will go on very well for a long time. Until I'm no longer here, that's going to be the question. What's going to happen then?
Have you ever thought of opening a second location further north?
Yes, for a very short time, and they gave up the idea right away. No, I mean, that was years ago, but for the last 20 years, no, I would never open another one. This is very difficult as it is. I would never think of opening another one, no.
It's difficult in terms of time commitment on your part.
All of the above, yes.
And how big is your staff now?
I got over 100 employees.
And do you do anything to improve staff morale, or do you have outings? How do you keep your staff happy? Because obviously loyal to you. What's your secret?
I treat them like friends, like mishpucha. You know, I do things for them. I do whatever they need. They need money. I lend them money. I help them buy cars. Whatever it takes. Some of them have some drug issues. I help them with rehab. I recommend all of them to go see Dr. Ambar. I do this. That's what I do with them. It's like I spend so much time with them.
Well, no wonder your staff is loyal to you. I have a student who's shadowing me, who's worked in the restaurant business, and I've heard horror stories regarding how servers are treated or mistreated. And it sounds like the experience at D.C. Aiken is quite different.
No, totally, totally. I feed them. I a couple of the vegetarians. I cook for them at home, and I give them food to take home because they are vegetarian. And like I said, I really like my employees. Most of them, I really like them. It's not like just an employee.
How did you learn to be this way?
I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know, my parents, maybe, I don't know.
Because for me, as somebody that's counseling and helping young people find a place in the world, the way you act is the way the world should be. Because, I mean, you are, an employer should be like you. And yet, I think many people are just looking out for themselves, and they are thinking, how can I get ahead? How can I make the most money? Or use my employees to the best of, to use them up so I can use them for my purposes. But you're acting as an employer who cares. You know, your employees are as important to you as family, as you said, and that's incredible. So I wanted to know how I can teach that to others.
For me, from day one, I never did this for money. I'm so lucky. I'm doing very, very well. But I never did this for money. I wanted to, for somebody come in, I never say, oh, here is another $50. For me, it's, oh, how can I make him happy?
And I think that's a really important thing you said, which I resonate with, because in my business I don't do it for money either, and I explain that to people, and many people can't understand why you would do that, but I mean you do. I understand. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that more after the break. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar, a special guest, Tamika Aiken, who we've learned not only is a wonderful deli and owner and restaurateur, but he's a wonderful human being who cares about people more than about money. You know, Tamika, I think that the way you conduct your life and the way I attempt to conduct my life is to do good for people. And it sounds like you love what you do. Is that right?
Very much so. Very much so.
I've always thought of myself as so lucky to do the counseling because I love helping people and I get paid for it too. Isn't that nice? But helping people is the key. And yet when I teach youngsters about this or what to look in life, a lot of them are just focused on how can I make a living and then enjoy myself playing video games or going traveling. And I explain to them, well, you know, it's really nice when you love what you do because then you never work. You never work a day in your life because you love what you do. And you can have a lot of energy to put into it because of your emotional attachment to your vocation. Is that how you feel as well?
Oh, absolutely. I always encourage my young employees and everything. I always tell them it's not about the money. Just have a good time. Walk, learn, see what you can learn from me so to make it easier for you in your life tomorrow. I don't expect you to be in a deli business. I expect you to be a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever you want to do in life. Learn the little things that will help you move on later on. Same thing with my kids. I said, you need to be a child, be a kid, enjoy life. Money will come. Everything will come. Don't hop on money. Money is not important. Your happiness is more important than the money. Money will come. If you do the right thing, money will come.
I agree with you. So you've been doing this for 40 years. Do you have any story to share about former employees that went on to the applied lessons you taught? Do you know any of their stories?
There's one young man that when he started, and this was many years ago, before I was thinking a lot, and we always knew that he's going to go places. And he became a big lawyer. And we knew right away that what he's become. A lot of my employees are very successful. A lot of them always come. Every time I get a Christmas card from a couple of them for years and years and years, they just, you know, it's amazing, you know. But a lot of them, every time I always encourage them, move on, go to school, keep on going to school, and move on. The second you leave, I'm so happy for you to leave here to go on to bigger and better things.
That's a great attitude. I will confess that in my business, I'm much smaller. I have like 7 employees, and you know, if one of my administrative staff leaves, it leaves a big gap, and it takes a while to train to do what we do here. So, you know, I'm always happy for them to move forward. I've had a couple of college students who worked 2 or 3 years and then moved on. But it's always mixed feelings for me. And it's cool that, I guess in your business, to hire another server is not quite as difficult as to find...
No, this is a different business. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I like your attitude. That's wonderful. Is the lawyer, former employee, does he ever visit you again, or does you have keep in touch?
No, I think he came. I think he left the state. I think he came and visited a couple of times. I mean, this is many, many years. And he's just a young man that we knew he's going to go places. But we have a lot of them are all professionals. They're all professionals. A lot of them went to San Diego State and moved on after working here for 1 or 2 years. There's a few accountants, and there's a kid in New York that has a couple of pizza places. I forget the name of it. It's wonderful. No, it's absolutely wonderful.
How fun. So did it ever come a time that somebody really famous came to your restaurant or your deli and you scurried around to make sure they were happy? Or do you remember a story like that? You don't have to tell me who it is.
Oh, very many, many, many. We had a lot of famous people never expected them to come. The first one that came was Wheezy from the Jeffersons. There was a TV show, The Jefferson, and the mother was Wheezy. Her name was Wheezy, and she was the first famous person that came here. And since then, we had a handful of very, very famous people. We have their pictures all over the restaurant, plus all the local media in San Diego.
So how did you find out she arrived at the restaurant?
She came with a customer that we knew.
And so did you roll out the red carpet, or how did you respond?
Oh, we were very nervous. We didn't know what to do. But, we always gave him an envelope. We asked him, please, can you send us a picture, you know? I think of Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn came, and I was kind of embarrassed, shy a little bit. I hid in the kitchen. He came to the kitchen, pulled me out. He said, come on, come outside, say hello. It was so nice of him, you know?
Wow. Now, do you give him house specials? Is there house specials at DC Aiken? Is it something you're really good at?
I usually entertain people. I have a few dishes that if I want to entertain somebody, I'll bring out, you know, a couple of appetizers and stuff like that.
Now, do your servers push house specials? I've heard that sometimes the specials that the servers push are the ones that are not selling well, but I don't think DC Aiken would do that. But what are there any secrets you have to share with about that?
We don't do too many specials. The reason is most of our customers, they know before they leave their car, they know already what they're going to order. Most of them don't even need a menu. They know before they sit down, they're already ready to order. They know what they want. Because we're such a big menu, you know?
Yeah. So if somebody is going to start a restaurant business today, what top three things would you tell them they should keep in mind?
Hard work. I mean, if you're not going to be there and you're not going to do it yourself, if you expect other people to do it for you, it's never going to happen. You have to work it yourself. You have to be there, family member, all the time. Otherwise, it's a tough business, and people want to see you there. They want to see one of the family members there at a time. It, you know, makes them feel good or whatever, and, you know. You got to be there. If you're not there, if there's one business, you have to be there. Like you.
So that's
one
hint. And the other tips, other than work hard and be there?
Yeah. Other tips, make sure you have a lot of money to hold up till you become successful.
Ah. So that's true. And again, when I started my business, I had to be able to support myself for a good year and a half before it picked up.
Absolutely.
How long does it take to get a restaurant going, would you say?
Maybe 5 years.
5 years?
5 years.
It really is a work of love, then, to get it going.
It was hard work, and I was just happy to pay my rent at home, and I went and the business, and I was happy. I didn't, like, as I said, I didn't do it for the money.
Right. How do you want DZ Aiken, the restaurant deli, to be in the future? Do you want it to continue, or does it matter to you after you're gone?
I don't think that far. I try to stay in the present. I try to, just to be here today and go day by day, and whatever happens, happens.
I love the philosophy, living in the moment. Very good answer. We'll be right back. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com, or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California, and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar, a special guest. Tabika Aiken, the owner and founder of DZ Aiken in San Diego, a wonderful deli. So, Tabika, you've lived a very interesting life. You started off in a different country. You were on your, well, you never really were on your path to become a doctor, but your parents thought you were, and you went into the butcher business and then the restaurant business. So I want to pick your brain. You've been around for a few decades. Let's talk about, even outside of the restaurant, what tips would you give, based on your experiences, what tips should you give our listening audience that they might employ in their life to help themselves? I know one of the tips will be to work hard. I think that applies to all, whatever you do, the secret to doing well in life is indeed hard work. And I like to use the quote, let's say, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Mm-hmm.
So you really do well with hard work. So that's one tip. But do you have other life tips based on your, you know, your experiences?
Basically, what we talked about earlier, just you know, respect everybody, be nice to everybody. Don't look down at people. Look at everybody as equal, because a lot of people seem to have that attitude of I'm better than the next guy because he's an employee and I'm the boss. I'm somewhat better than they are. And if some people behave like that, it shows. You need to teach, treat people with respect. That's what you expect for them to respect you back.
I think that's so important what you're saying, and I do that, as you know, I do that with the children as well, and I teach parents, respect your children. You know, parents get upset that the child doesn't respect them, and yet their attitude is, well, I don't have to respect you, you're just a child. And the child marvels after what they see. And I think many times with children, and I'm sure the same with, well, it's true with employees as well, when you respect them, they rise up
to the occasion, all the time, yes.
Exactly. And when you don't, they say, "What's, you know, why should I even try, you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter." So I think that's really, that's a hard work, respect. Any other life tip?
I think we went over it, you know, again and again. It's just live for the day, live every day. Have, you know, enjoy everything you do and try to do mitzvahs, and that's it.
Exactly. So I agree. So I think live every day, and you said enjoy it, and I would add love what you do, love people, because you clearly do. You clearly care about people, and again, that's a key thing. No matter what you do, if you're a teacher and you work hard and respect your students and love them, you'll be a good teacher. If you're a zookeeper, you know, you love what you do and you take care of the animals, respect your customers, you'll do well. This is so true. Those three elements we just talked about: hard work, respect, and living for the moment, and loving. And if you apply that throughout your life, as you have, you get a lot of in Yiddish nachas, a lot of pleasure.
Yes. Yes.
From life. And then you pass it along to other people. Maybe, do you have can you tell me about a customer or somebody you interacted with that the way you treated them helped them sort of find themselves? Do you remember a situation like that? Maybe you talked about an employee before where the way you treated them really helped change their lives or change their attitude.
Well, are you talking about customers?
Well, it doesn't have to be. It could be a
you know,
family member.
I have, you know, I helped a couple of my employees to buy a property, and I put the down payment for them. They paid me back, and they were lucky enough. They got themselves housing and everything. And like I said, I do stuff like this. I help customers with purchasing a vehicle, and like I said, everybody paid back, and you know, I do this just to do.
And did you ever treat somebody nicely and they didn't treat you nicely back, or you felt like you were burned in some way? And if so, how did you handle it?
Yes, I had a few employees that sued me frivolously, you know, and that was kind of hurtful, because after you did so much for them, and it was just not true, but you know, because of the system, they got away with it, and but this is just a very, very, very small part of this business.
And how did you handle it? Were you able to let it go pretty easily?
Yeah, I mean, I very much believe it is what it is. I just go for what it is, and that's it. I don't sit and harp on things, because you know, then eat your fish kiss. So this way you just, whatever happened, if they got a lawyer, the lawyer, you know, did what they did. I got my lawyer, tried to defend the issue that I couldn't defend anyway. It's a workman's comp issue. And then they got themselves whatever they got, and that's it. And life goes on.
Yeah. A quote I share with my patients in situations like this is, whether you realize it or not, the universe is unfolding as it should. And as you said, life goes on and move on.
And I believe in what goes around comes around.
Yep. That's another good lesson. You know, another thing I teach is that when this Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of a telephone, he said, when one door closes, another opens.
Open.
But some people spend so much time looking at the closed door, they never find the open door. So
open door.
I teach my patients, look for the open door. Don't dwell.
Yep.
Well, speaking, I'm so glad you joined us today. I think you serve as a role model for all of us of how one can live their life in a beautiful way with hard work and respect and enjoyment and love. And I think we should all aspire to do what we can within our area of expertise, or if we're young, to develop that area of expertise. And to do that, and then, there's no limit. Your influence, Vika, will continue through your family and employees for generations, because you've changed people's lives, and it's such an amazing story that you've done, and I think is within the realm of possibility for many of us if we have the right attitude, if we approach life the right way. You're joining us and sharing your life story with us. Hopefully will inspire some more listeners to follow this path.
Thank you so very much.
I really, really appreciate it. I wish for you many more years of good health and ability to contribute to this world in a most special way. And thank you so much for joining us. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Thank you, Doctor.